Nice song. I think at our human best, our love is so cold at times. I don't know about you, but I think mine is. And Brother Woodhouse never loses that pep for leading us in singing. How do you get this thing on? I'm only doing what I'm told. It's always an honor to represent the Lord and always a privilege to minister His Word. As has already been stated, this will be a different week for me. Park of the Palms was one of Elsie's favorite Bible conferences. And when I would make my schedule up for the coming year, she would always say, "Are we going to Park of the Palms?" And I would say, "Yes, we are." And that was her favorite spot. Well, she's in a better place. Did you know there was a better place than Park of the Palms? Heaven. She's now absent from the body and present with the Lord. We'll tell you a little experience that I trust will warm the cockles of your heart. The last 30 minutes with Elsie here on earth are a memory that will linger with me, not only for time, but I think the Lord will let me have it even in heaven. Maybe we'll tell you a little bit about it one of these evenings. Now, don't you go away while I'm away, because I came here for you, and I expect to see you on Tuesday. So don't go away. I'll be looking for you. Open your Bible, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now let us pray. Our loving Father, it is with grateful hearts that we enter in to the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. We thank Thee for His sacrificial substitutionary death, whereby the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And now we poor sinners are no longer banned from Thy holy presence, but we have access boldly to the throne of grace. And here we are, Father, asking once more for grace and mercy. And we thank Thee for the infinite, inexhaustible supply of that grace, meted out to us according to our need this morning. May none go empty away from this service, but may the Holy Spirit, whose presence has been in evidence, move among us this morning, up and down the aisles and in and out the rows, to bring to bear upon the conscience of each one of us some morsel of divine truth that will add to our spiritual stature. And we shall give Thee the praise that is due Thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Are you satisfied with your level of Christian growth? You think you've arrived where the Lord wants you to be in this life? Well, the Apostle Paul never thought so. In Philippians chapter 3, he said in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That I may lay hold of that for which the Lord Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I haven't arrived. "But this one thing I do." Now, Paul was a specialist. He was majoring on one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul carried a spiritual waste basket with him. There are some good things, some things that are good for us to forget. It's nice to have a spiritual wastebasket, and you can toss some things in that wastebasket. That was Paul's spiritual wastebasket. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If Paul felt that way, I think most of us should if we don't. We have a long way to go. This morning I want to speak to you on upgrading my Christian life. If yours needs some upgrading, then listen carefully. Mine does. I have not laid hold of all for which Christ laid hold of me. I have a long way to go. And I'm interested in upgrading my Christian life. And I want to introduce a little word of two letters found frequently in your Bible. And I'll use that as the basis for our study this morning. Now, at this point, I'm not quite certain about the studies for the rest of the week. Hopefully, I might be spending at least mornings or evenings on dealing with some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And I would like to discuss the matter of Christian faith. But for this morning, I want you to consider with me the little word up, U-P. And we're going to use it in looking up some scriptures and seeing how we can upgrade our Christian life. The first one is in Psalm 5. Turn, please, in your Bible to Psalm 5. Some of the ups are look up. That'll be our first one. Gird up the loins of your minds. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Take up your cross and follow me, said the Lord Jesus. Caught up to be with him. Upgrading my Christian life. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Not all Christians live on the same spiritual level. There are levels and degrees of Christian growth. We know that for at least two reasons. Number one, the Bible teaches that. Then on the other hand, we look about us and we see some Christians who have gone so far above and beyond where we are, we covet their position and say, if only I had grown as that brother or that sister has grown. There are levels of Christian experience. In 1 Peter 2:2, we read, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, Peter is referring, using a word that denotes an infant spiritually, a newborn babe in Christ. And he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, grow up! Grow up! We meet Christians who are so far beyond us. We say, why can't I be where that saint is? And then the Bible exhorts us to grow up. Now, Peter's speaking here of spiritual birth, a newborn Christian. But sometimes newborn Christians remain victims of arrested development. They never grow up. The church at Corinth, in that assembly, there were so many who never grew up. When Paul wrote to them in the first epistle in chapter 3, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They should have matured. They should have grown up, but they were victims of arrested development. You might say, I've had 25 years of Christian experience, but what you might be saying if you told the truth, I've had about 1 year of Christian experience over a period of 25 years. There is a difference. And I don't think any of us have reached the state or stage in Christian growth where we ought to be. At least I haven't. And obviously Paul hadn't. Paul realized there was a long, long way to go. Where life begins, it ought to develop. That's true physically, and it should be true spiritually. Now let's look at this first little up. Verse 3 says, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I think in order to grow spiritually and upgrade my Christian life, I have to get started right at the beginning of the day. The psalmist said, in the morning will I look up. Got to start my day right. Where do you look when you awaken in the morning? Saw a man the other day coming out in his pajamas to get the morning newspaper. I guess he started his day with the morning newspaper. Nothing wrong with the morning newspaper. Somebody asked me the other day if I read it. I said, no, I haven't read it. I just scummed it. Some folks can't start their day without coffee. Nothing wrong with coffee. I'm not condemning coffee. Some folks cannot start their day without pushing the remote control beside their bed to get the early news report on television. Nothing wrong with the television set. Television set is neither moral nor immoral. It is amoral. The moral is in the way we use it or misuse it or abuse it. What's the first thing we instinctively reach for in our waking moments? The psalmist said, in the morning will I look up. Now if you will turn over to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And I want you to note Psalm 30 and verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, be thou my helper. I need help when I start each day. The trials and the testings of life somehow are more than I can handle. I just can't handle them. And I need a helper. And I find by looking up to Him, He becomes my helper for that day. Now when we look up, not what do we see, but whom do we see? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Actually, where is Jesus Christ? Turn over to the book of Hebrews for just a moment and find Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. When you find Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who, Christ, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where is He? Sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Turn to chapter 8 of the Hebrews. Chapter 8. When you found chapter 8, look please at verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heaven. Where is He? He's up there at the right hand of God the Father. And then turn to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And look please at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He's there, beloved. He's there. Look up. Make that your first activity in the morning. If you want to upgrade your Christian life, you better get the day started right. You see, if we look up in the morning, our noons and our nights have a better chance. But I can't get through some noons and some nights if I didn't start my day right. How do you start your day? Do we want to upgrade our Christian life? This is very important. Because what comes into the computer of my mind oftentimes influences my speech and my behavior for the rest of the day. And if I look up to Him who is and wants to be my helper, I have a much better chance throughout the day. Look up. Look up. Turn to Acts chapter 5, please. Acts chapter 7, I think, is what I want. Acts chapter 7. We have here the record of the first recorded martyr of the Christian church. I'm not saying there were no martyrs before Stephen. He gave a glowing testimony. Going back into Israel's history and spoke very forthrightly and frankly to his hearers. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now you say you just read three times in Hebrews that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God. On more than one occasion in my 51 years in the ministry, someone has fired this at me and said, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. There are no contradictions in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that He remains sitting. He stood up to welcome home the first recorded martyr. Stephen looked up and saw Jesus. He was there. He was there. Will you pardon the personal testimony? I said maybe someday I would tell you this, but I think I'm going to tell it to you now. The last 6 weeks of my beloved Elsie's experience were difficult for her. She could not speak, nor could she swallow. And she, for those 6 weeks, was dying slowly. And it was obvious that not much more could be done for her medically. Barring a miracle, she would be with the Lord. And I went in on September 10th, about 10 o'clock in the morning in the nursing home, and the nurse said to me, I was going to call you this morning. And I said, things are not so good. She said, no, I don't think so. But she said, I knew you were coming in at 10 o'clock, so I decided to wait. And I sat down beside Elsie. Her eyes were closed. And I said, can you hear me? If you can, open your eyes. And she opened her eyes and recognized me. She smiled. And then I knew that it wouldn't be long before she'd be with the Lord. And I said to her, I want to recite one of your favorite psalms for you. And she closed her eyes and I recited the psalm. Then I said, if you heard me, will you open your eyes? She opened her eyes. Then I said to her, now, honey, it won't be long before you're going to be in heaven. It's going to be sooner than you probably anticipate. And I said, before you go, I want to thank you for being such a good wife, and I'll say something you will never hear me say again this side of heaven. I love you. Now, did you hear me? If you did, open your eyes. She opened her eyes with the sweetest smile I've ever seen on her face and closed her eyes and entered into the presence of the Lord. She saw Jesus standing. He was there to welcome her home. You knew Elsie the way I knew Elsie. You knew a Christian who grew throughout all of her years, she never had a morning, beloved, when she didn't look up. Every morning, started looking up. When I proposed marriage to her, she said, "I'll consider it, and I'll give you my answer later." I thought she'd grab at it the first time I asked her. She didn't. We were sitting on a swing on her parents' back porch on a beautiful moonlight night in May. I thought she'd jump at it. She said, "I'll consider it." A few days later, she said, "I'm going to accept your proposal, but I want you to know one thing. You will never be first in my life." I said, "Who else?" Now, if Adam, Eve would have said to Adam, "Honey, do you love me?" He could have said, "Who else?" That would make sense. There wasn't anybody else. And I said, "Who else?" She said, "Layman, Jesus Christ will always be first in my life. You'll never take the place of Him." What a statement from a young girl. That's the way it was for 58 years. She looked up, and in her dying moment, she saw Jesus standing to greet her, to welcome her home. She upgraded her Christian life. Thus, it was not difficult to look up in her dying moment. Stephen, looking up, saw Jesus standing. Oh, beloved, get started right in the morning. Look up. He's there. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if you do, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins." He's up there. There he is, waiting. Get your day started right. Look up, and you'll see Jesus. Much better chance of upgrading my Christian life if I get my day started right. I repeat, my noons and my nights are much better when I look up in the morning. Looking up is the key that unlocks the door to my day, and it's the key that closes my door at nighttime. Looking up. Now I want to direct your attention to another up in the Bible. Turn, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober," that means be sober-minded, "and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, garments in the East were long, flowing robes. And they needed to be girded up for the journey. If a person was starting out on a journey, they couldn't make any progress if their long flowing robes were not girded. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. The Israelites, before they started their journey, their march from Egypt, they girded up their garments, ready for the journey. Well, we've got to gird up the loins of our mind. Now, Peter uses the word metaphorically of the loins of the mind. What's he saying? Prepare your mind for the day's activities. Prepare your mind. We read from Philippians this morning. Will you turn back to Philippians for just a moment? There's an awful lot in Paul's letter to the Philippians that speaks of the mind. You have your ballpoint pen handy? Just look at verse 27. Let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Make sure you start your day with a harmonious mind. You and your spouse may not be agreed on every detail, but at least you can have a harmonious mind. That's exhorted in the Scriptures. Be of one mind. You strive not against each other, but together. The saints don't strive against each other. They strive together for the faith of the gospel. Mark that word mind in Philippians. Verse 2 of chapter 2. Fulfill ye, let me read verse 1. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We have to think the same things if we're going to have a harmonious mind. We have to be agreed on the basic essentials of our Christian life. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Make sure it's a harmonious mind. Look not every man on his own things or his own interests, but every man on the things or the interests of others. Now he's going to tell us what kind of a mind we ought to have. And Christ is our example. Now when you look up and see him, to start your day, you will see the perfect pattern of what a man's or a woman's mind ought to be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Have a harmonious mind, and here is a humble mind. Christ is the pattern. He made himself of no reputation. You don't have to be number one in your house. You don't have to be number one in the assembly. A humble mind. That's a way to get your day started. Want to upgrade your Christian life? Look at the Lord Jesus and you'll find him, the man with a humble mind. He took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, it was a servant's mind. I've traveled an awful lot in the last 51 years. And I think, beloved, I'm just about fed up to the ears with Christian celebrities. We need more servants. We need more servants. I'm not celebrity material, and I'm not speaking sour grapes because I'm not. But I think I just want to be God's servant. That's all. It was the mind of a servant. And became obedient unto death. It was not only a servant's mind, it was a submissive mind. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was selfless, sacrificial, submissive. It was the mind of a servant. Don't start your day thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Vance Havner said, a man wrapped up with himself makes a very small package. And may I say, a woman wrapped up with herself makes a very small package. Christ is our pattern. Look up, and I see Jesus. And when I see him, I see the man with the kind of a mind that I ought to have. It's a humble mind. It's a harmonious mind. I look over to chapter 3, please. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's an honest mind. You have a harmonious mind and a humble mind. Be honest when you start your day. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God and be honest with those whose lives you touch. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk in the same truth, let us mind the same things. Gird up the loins of your mind. Verse 19, verse 18 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Now we're told to have a heavenly mind. We're bound for heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Have a harmonious mind, a humble mind, honest mind, a heavenly mind. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. People mind earthly things. Verse 19. We're to be heavenly minded. Not heavenly minded in the sense that we're no earthly good, but we're heavenly minded. That's where you're headed for, dear friend. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odia, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Those two dear sisters were creating problems in the assembly in Philippi. They were loggerheads with one another. Loggerheads don't have the right mind. They're out of their mind. And these two women really messed things up in the local assembly. Paul said, I beseech you two women that you be of the same mind. Start thinking the same things on which you agree. You agree that the Bible is the Word of God. You agree there's one way of salvation. You agree that Jesus Christ is our only Savior. Get down to the basics, the things we agree on. Be of the same mind. What an epistle. Gird up the loins of your mind. How do you get started in the morning? Do you look up? And when you see Jesus, do you see the perfect example, the perfect pattern? And do you gird up the loins of your mind? What enters the computer of my mind, I have learned and I am learning, oftentimes reflects in my speech and my behavior. Look up, beloved. Get your day started right. Psalm 121 says, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I carry 5 translations of the Bible with me. I carry the King James, which is I'm at home in this one. I just visit the others. I visit the NIV. I visit the New American Standard. I visit the New King James. I like the New King James. And then I always carry J.N. Darby translation of the Bible. And I was reading through the Psalms in Darby's translation. And then that 121st Psalm, he really nailed it down, and accurately from the Hebrew text, too. I will look unto the hills, period. And the rest of the sentence is in the form of a question. From whence cometh my help? Not from the hills. As the psalmist walked through the hills and viewed the mountains in his morning stroll, he said, I will look unto the hills. And as he looked under the hills and the mountains, he asked himself, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made the hills, the heaven and the earth. See? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. My help doesn't come from the hills. I like Darby in that one. He really rang the changes on the truth. My help cometh from the, I will look unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. God is your helper. God is my helper. I need a helper. I don't know about you. I can't make it without a helper. And somehow I don't have what it takes to make it. I want to upgrade my Christian life. And beloved, I don't have too much longer to go to do it. Time's running out for me. And it's running out for you. Don't you want to upgrade your Christian life? Well, look up and gird up the loins of your minds. And hopefully that'll get us to thinking a little bit until we meet again. If the Lord comes before I get back, you'll have all the answers. And you won't need me. The Lord willing, we'll see you on Tuesday morning. Let us pray. Loving Father, for the Holy Scriptures, we thank Thee. And for this simple but profound approach to upgrading our Christian life. God help us to start our day looking up to Jesus and to gird up the loins of our mind as He was so minded. And Lord, we know that our days will be better and will be a little taller spiritually. And Father, if anyone came this morning who has never been saved, who has never looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we pray that that one will trust the Savior today and receive everlasting life. For we ask this in His worthy and holy name. Amen.